Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 4, starting with verse 4, reading through verse 5. Now, I've titled my message, A Perfect Moment in Time. A Perfect Moment in Time, Galatians chapter 4, starting with verse 4, reading through verse 5. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. Listen carefully as I read them. It says, But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full right of sons. Notice there in verse 4 it says, But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son. Reading from another translation, it says, When the time, right time came, God sent his Son. Another translation reads, At the set time, God sent his Son. Yet another says, At the perfect moment, God sent his Son. And another says, At the precise moment in world history, God sent his Son. Now I want to welcome you this morning to our very first of our series of messages on a perfect moment in time. This morning we're going to begin our series by examining the fascinating timeline of world history. The Apostle Paul tells us then that Jesus was born at the perfect moment in time. On hearing that, my mind wonders what makes that moment, the moment that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, what makes that moment in world history more perfect than any other? So why was Jesus born when he was born? I would ask the question, why not 2,000 years earlier? Or why not 200 years later? To answer that question this morning, we're going to turn to history. Now friends, I believe that God is a God of absolute precision and perfection. And everything that God does is both precise and is perfectly timed. There is nothing that is helter-skelter with God. God doesn't just wing anything. God has got a plan, and he's always working the plan. And this plan of redemption is one that he's worked on long before we read that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We need to understand this morning that God, in his timing, he is never early. Neither is God ever late. God is always perfect and always on time. And I believe that history proves this out. Now, friends, there are two basic views of history that people embrace. Remember that. There are two basic views of history that people embrace. The first view is what is called the cyclical view of history. And the second is a linear view of history. We'll describe them in just a moment, but I want you to jot those down. A cyclical view of history and a linear view of history. These are the ways, these are the basic views that people embrace about history. Now, the cyclical view of history is like this. History is just an endless cycle of random repeating events with no purpose or goal. Look at that, it's a wheel. And in their mind, it's a wheel that just keeps on turning. And just like a wheel has no end to it, it just keeps on going from day to day, from generation to generation, from millennium to millennium. And this wheel of time, it is cyclical. It just keeps on going. And what goes around comes around. And all the words that we hear in daily life, and it all means that people, in one way or another, they embrace this view of history and this cyclical view of history. So history then, according to the cyclical view, is headed nowhere. It is only just marking time. It's just spinning of the wheel. Life is nothing more than a series of repeated vignettes in which the same basic types of things happen over and over and over again. One might say the cyclical view of history says people are born, people die. And in between, they find food, they find shelter, they raise children, they grow old, followed by the next generation doing the very same thing. As Solomon says, there was nothing new under the sun. Matter of fact, speaking of King Solomon, he would appear for at least a short period of his lifetime, he embraced this cyclical view of history. Hence, he writes in the book of Ecclesiastes, that life is vanity, life is full of vexation, life is absolutely meaningless. And he uses these terms to describe life. He says, life is just a big old wheel. It's just a cycle. And what I see today, someone else will see a millennium later on. What I work for today, a generation following after me will spend. This cyclical view of history then produces lethargy and fatalism. And this is what you read in the book of Ecclesiastes. Here is a man that says life is just worthless. It's just one big old cycle. Sun rises, sun sets, years come, years go, nothing changes. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that has not been in the past that isn't going to be sometime in the future. And life is this big old cycle. And when people believe and embrace the cyclical view of history, they usually become then rather fatalistic. Whatever is going to be anyway. Therefore, what's the sense of embracing anything in life? You see, a person with a cyclical view of history then fails to see the hand of God in the everyday affairs of mankind. Whereas an individual who embraces the linear view of life, I want you to think now, one is a cycle, one is cyclical. It's a big old wheel just spinning year after year, whereas the individual embraces the linear view of life, sees history headed somewhere. All the historic events, BC, that is before Christ, leads to Christ's first advent. The individual that looks at history and sees it as a linear thing, they can see history is headed somewhere. And all the events in the BC, that is from the time of creation to the birth of Jesus Christ, all the events of history, linear, were all moving forward, inching forward, generation by generation, year by year, moving closer to the coming of God's only begotten Son. In the perfect moment, God sent His Son into this world, is what the Bible tells us. And as you read from the birth of Christ on, which we call AD, or the year of our Lord, all the historical events AD are road markers then leading to Christ's second advent, when Jesus Christ is going to return to judge this earth in power and in great glory. So the linear view of history then is a belief that history has a progressive direction to it, leading up to a prophetic conclusion. One is a cycle, it is cyclical, it's going to be the same over and over and over, whereas linear says we are headed somewhere. Friends, God in His sovereign way and His sovereign power, I believe God is sovereign in control over history, and that He purposely is moving the events of history to a glorious climax. Every day is unique. Every day is special. It's not just a wheel. Some people think, well, if you miss it, you'll just catch it the next time it comes around. I remember many years ago, they had what they called Duff's. Duff's was a all-you-could-eat smorgasbord here in Milwaukee, and they had them other places as well. And one of the unique things about their smorgasbord was the table that had the food on rotated. And you had to be fast, because it would come by you, and if you missed it, it would go on to the next little divider, and, you know, the person, the next divider, they could take and scoop from whatever was on, you know, the table. But the table was rotating. And if I missed it, I knew if I just wait a little while, it would come back. And sure enough, it would. It would come back around the next time. And a lot of people view life that way. It says, oh, it makes no big deal. I'll catch it the next time around. If I miss out on it this time, life is just a cycle. But friends, I remind you today that every single day, every single moment of linear history is moving forward. And you cannot go back and regain it. You see, history, I believe, is truly His story. It is the story of God being played out here on this planet. Now, for a few moments this morning, here's what I'd like for us to do. I would like for us to look at the continuum of history, the linear line of history. Now, if I were to put everything on the timeline this morning, guess what? We would have to be here for many, many thousands of years. And so, admittedly, we're going to jump around on this time chart, but I want you to see for a moment. I want you to see the hand of God in everyday affairs all throughout the history of this planet. For the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 then, that at the perfect moment, in the fullness of time, at the exact precise moment in history, God sent forth His Son into the world. If we're going to understand the times and the seasons of Christ's coming, and next Sunday we're going to look at this in its detail, just what are the exact moments of the coming of Christ, what was the uniqueness about that moment of world history, but I want us to see the big picture, the big timeline of history for just a moment before we do so. So let's begin our timeline this morning. And again, I reemphasize to you, it's impossible to put everything on the timeline that ought to be on the timeline, or we would all be here for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. You understand? And so we're going to just hit some of the highlights of history. On this timeline, we're going to start where the Bible starts. It says, in the beginning, God. Friends, I am so glad that as we start the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. You know, someone called me one day and they got rather upset on the phone. They said, well, I want to know exactly how old is this earth and how and when did God create it? I said, I cannot tell you that. I cannot even tell you the exact methods of how God created all of this. But I do know that whenever the beginning was, it was God. And I know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so history has its start in God. You did not evolve. This planet did not evolve. We are the product of a creator. And so it all starts with the Alpha. Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega. God is the beginning of all things. And the Bible says simply, in the beginning, God. And then it goes on to say that He created. So now we know where all of history starts. This timeline of history begins with God. And we know the creation of all things, seen and unseen, all started with God. He spoke these things into existence. The Bible uses the word ex nihilo to try to explain that from nothing, God created everything. And from the creation, we understand that God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden. And they disobeyed volitionally God's command and God's plan for their life. And as a result of that, we call that the fall of man. And from the fall of man, we understand that the world itself became more and more decadent and farther from God. And God was determined to destroy these evil workers on this planet. And you know the story of the flood. Noah and the ark. And 8 persons that were saved on the ark. And from that, you move forward in the book of Genesis, and you'll find the next major historical event, though again, I say, there are many others that could be placed in line as well. The next major event are the nations of the world. Remember the Tower of Babel? God confused their languages, and as a result of the confusion of their languages, they went and they spread throughout the earth and set up various nations throughout the earth. And so we have the nations. Again, God is in the design of all of this. And as God looks upon the earth, He has a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. And Abraham became the father of the faith. And so we have Abraham. Abraham had a son. His son was the son of promise. His name was Isaac. He also had a son. His name was Ishmael, was of the flesh. And as a result of that son and the two sons together, Isaac and Ishmael, you find the Middle East problems that we have today. And so Abraham, the father of the faith, has a son of promise, which is Isaac, which has sons, which is Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons, which become the 12 tribes of Israel. And out of Jacob comes forth a son by the name of Joseph. Joseph is sold by his brothers as a slave. He goes into Egypt, and as God would have it, God was behind it all. And as he said to his brothers one day, Joseph, as for you, you meant this for harm, but God meant it for good. God was working behind the scenes of history in the life of Joseph. And it was then 400 years that the Israelites spend in Egypt. And the Bible says, while they're in Egypt, there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And they began to mistreat the children of Israel. And you know the account in the story of how God then brought Moses on the scene to be a deliverer. There was 40 years of wandering. Those 40 years of wandering once again show us the goodness of God. There is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. All of this happens approximately 1400 BC. And then on the scene comes the judges. And from the judges, we have the prophets. And during the time of the judges and into the early times of the prophets, you find that Israel cries out and says, we want a king like all the other nations. And then we have King Saul, followed by King David and by King Solomon. Again, as you read through history, you need to understand this morning. You'll never understand Christmas. You'll never understand your daily life. You will never understand what's happening, why you cannot at times put your finger on why your life seems to be seemingly out of control and out of sense until you understand this timeline of God this morning. And so it is followed up then, King David, by King Solomon. Under King Solomon is the building of the temple in Jerusalem. And he says in his dedicatory prayer, I realize the heavens cannot contain you, O God. But God, I ask and I desire, just as you dwelt in our tent as we were in the wilderness those 40 years, I ask that you, O God, would come and dwell with us in this place in Jerusalem. When people turn towards his temple and as they begin to seek your face, answer their prayers and be their God. And then from that, we read on, and of course, there's so much more history. We have 400 years of silence. Have you ever had someone give you the silent treatment? Have you ever given the silent treatment? Oh, I think most of us know what that's all about. There are 400 years, as you read through the Bible, and as you come to the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and as you go to Matthew chapter 1, between those two pages, you need to understand there's 400 years of silence. There is no messengers from God. There is no what we would call books of the Bible that are being delivered from heaven. There is a silence. There's 400 years. And during those 400 years, there began to rise up within the Israelites. There began to rise up within them a desire to hear from heaven and to hear from God. And God answered that prayer and sent John the Baptist. John the Baptist, you know the account of John. The Bible says his message was, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was the one that was going to precede then the Messiah that was coming. He was the one that was going to declare his generation. Yes, John the Baptist comes on the scene. And then you begin to read in the book of Matthew, Luke as well, how the angelic visitations come to both Mary and to Joseph. And now Mary says, if this is the plan of God, if this is the way history is to be written, God, be it unto me. I yield to your plan for my life. You know what I understand, what I get from Mary? I understand that good things from God can be turned down. And that opportunities that come our way once, remember, this is not a wheel of history, it's linear. and you miss it, and it's not going to come your way once again, God will find someone else for that task or that job. And Mary says, God, count me in. Be it unto me. I'm sure this young lady understood the harassment that she would go through. I'm sure she understood all that was going to come her way as she'd be maligned as being a woman of ill repute, and how she'd have to go hide away from the crowds and all of this. Yet she was willing, Lord, this is your plan, O God. If this is what you are writing into history, I want to be part of what you are up to. And then we read of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I never tire of reading the Luke's account. I love Luke's account. And it tells us how Jesus was born. And the angelic angels came and they made declarations to the shepherds that this was the Son of Almighty God. And history is marching on. Jesus, his ministry. We read about it in the Gospels and how he raised the dead. He healed the sick. He opened the blinded eyes. He cast out demons. He ruled over nature. He proved himself to be the unique and special Son of God. Emmanuel, God with us, not just an ordinary man. And history records once again all the many, many blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It also tells us not only of his ministry, but it tells us of Jesus' arrest, of his trial, and of his crucifixion. It tells us that no man took his life, but he laid it down willingly for his friends. The Bible tells us how he died on the cross of Calvary and said, "It is finished." When he said, "It is finished," it was not a declaration of defeat. You got the best of me. I give in. I die. But rather, it was a shout of victory. Telelose. It is complete. It is absolutely perfect. The work of God has been complete. And the Bible says in that moment, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Yes, he was buried. We know that 3 days later, history records the resurrection. And after 40 days, the Bible says, after the resurrection, he spent 40 days walking amongst mankind, showing himself alive by many infallible proofs. History was marching on. After those 40 days, they go to the Mount of Ascension, and Jesus gives them commands regarding the kingdom. And then the Bible says, he ascended back to the Father. Mission accomplished. I have done what you've set me to do. Salvation is now available to every man, woman, boy, and girl. All of mankind's sins have been paid for. Healing is available. All that you sent me to do, O God, I have completed my mission and now heading home and the ascension. And remember how they stood there and they watched him as he went into the skies. And the angelic beings came and stood alongside of the disciples and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that went away is going to come in like manner. Don't give up. History's not over." And from there we go on to the day of Pentecost. The promise of the Father was given. The power of the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room. And it began what is called the church age. And if you want to know about the church age, you need to read through the book of Acts. Have you ever noticed in your Bible where the Bible says Acts, the Acts of the Apostles? It is literally, it is the works of the early church. And it's all documented there. It is all in history for you so that you can understand how the early church functioned and what the early church was like. Then came persecution and the spread of Christianity around the world. What the enemy once again meant for harm, God meant for good. And I'm sure that had I been living in that time period, I would have said, like maybe some others, "God, where are you at? Why are you allowing this, these evil men to come and persecute, but God had a bigger plan in store, and he was literally taking the gospel through this persecution as men and women were fleeing around the world, taking the gospel with them, and the gospel and the message of Christ went global as a result of the persecution. God had everything under control. Then we read about the destruction of the temple in 70 AD as Jerusalem was destroyed by Titus. And now not only are the Christians scattered, the Jews are scattered around the globe as well. And then Constantine comes on the scene in about 312, 313 AD. And he declares that Christianity is going to be the official religion of the state. Followed up by the Council of Nicaea in about 325 AD. And then we have the fall of the Roman Empire in 476. Most historians say that as a result of the fall of the Roman Empire, the Dark Ages came and it crossed over almost what we call Europe today. Then in the 600s, we had a man by the name of Muhammad. Muhammad was one that said that there was a need for a religion that would honor God and make God who God truly is. And of course, all of this was deeply confused. And in the 600s, we have the rise of Islam, followed by the First Crusade of 1096 to try to regain once again Jerusalem. Now, I want you to think not everything is seen as a real spiritual advent. But we have the printing press was invented in about 1440. Friends, that literally changed the world. As much as the computer has changed our generation or the cell phone, the printing press literally changed history. And we have the first Bible now available to the common person, to a group of believers that would join together in a church body and have their own copy of the scriptures, unheard of. Yes, the printing press in 1440 made that possible. And then the discovery of the Americas in 1492. Friends, that was world-changing. I believe that God had a very specific role and has a very specific role for America and the world today. It is not just history passing by. It was not just a journey from Europe to the United States. It was a journey that God was orchestrating in every sense and bringing us to a point where Americas would be discovered and that all that has happened since would be a reality. Then in 1517, a man by the name of Martin Luther came on the scene. Disgusted by what he saw in the church, he went down to the Church of Wittenberg and he nailed his 95 theses to the Wittenberg door. And he said, I will not recant and I will not change. And he stood firm. And friends, this morning, you need to understand, had it not been for this, and this is not something that I'm just throwing a stone this morning. I'm saying, had it not been for Martin Luther, had it not been for that part in world history, and if you do not understand the wholeness of history there, all of us this morning would be Roman Catholic. That is what it was all about. He said there's gotten to be perversion in the church. And this Reformation literally began to shake the world. Yes, the Reformation of 1517 to approximately 1648. Then after that, the telegraph came in 1835. Followed by the telephone in 1876. Followed the next day by telephone solicitors. Then the radio in 1895. World War I, 1914 to 1918. Television, 1923. Now, it did not become a household item until somewhere in the 50s, but nonetheless, the technology was put in place in 1923, between World War I and World War II. World War II comes and shapes and shakes the earth. 1939 to 1945. You know, some of us, we go to our microwave oven and we think it is so new. It actually was 1946 when the first microwave oven was introduced. Israel gained statehood in 1948. That's big. Never in the history of the world has a people without a land, without a nation for 2,000 years ever been restored. But you need to understand that Israel in May of 1948, when once again becomes a nation, it is part of God's timeline, this perfect timeline of history. The Bible tells us, if you want to know what time it is, if you want to know what time it is physically, you look at a watch. If you want to know what time it is spiritually, you look at Israel. Israel is God's timepiece. And it was in 1948 then that Israel becomes and gains its statehood. The European Union begins to form in 1950, just 2 years afterwards. And friends, there's no way to underestimate what that is all going to play in world history. Followed by the Korean War as well in 1950 to 1953. Followed again by another war, and some date the beginning of the Vietnam War in 1954, the year following immediately after the conclusion of the Korean War. Others would date it more like 61 to 64 through 1975. And it changed the psyche of America. There was something about, and I remember in those days so vividly, when I was called in before the draft board, and as I would take and watch every single night on the news, 50, 60, 70 young men or women's names scrolling that had lost their lives that day. And they did that day after day after day. And the psyche of America became, let's just leave the world alone. Let's all hunker down. Let's just go and take care of our own and our own selves. And it did something to the psyche of this nation. Followed by the Persian Gulf War in 1991. The World Wide Web, somewhere right in that 1990 to 1992 period of time. And again, the World Wide Web has changed the world. In the last 2 decades, information transfer has gone over line and by wire, which we would call the internet system, has gone from about 1.5% to almost 97% of all information transmitted all over this globe goes through what is called the World Wide Web. Followed by 9/11/2001. A date like December 7th that stays in our mind. We will never forget seeing the World Trade Centers as planes are careening into them or into the Pentagon, or hearing the struggle for that United flight that crashed in a field. It changed the world. 9/11 changed our world. We do not think the same. We do not live the same. We do not travel in the same ways we once did. Life is different because of 9/11. And it's all part of history. Following right after 9/11 was the war on terrorism. Now, I'd say to you that history keeps on marching on. The Arab Spring, or called the Arab Awakening, started December the 18th of 2010, less than a year ago, starting in Tunisia, going to Egypt, Libya, Bahrain, to Syria, to Yemen, and to 17 different nations. Friends, you need to understand what is going on in the world at this very moment. Elections that have happened during this very past week This world is changing quickly. And where there was men like Mubarak and others, we see many, many new faces coming on the scene quickly. And the world is changing. History is linear. History is marching somewhere. And you need to understand, history is a one-way street. Once you've passed by a mark, there is no going back. It's only forward into history. There's no returning. This world, friends, I tell you this morning, is headed somewhere. We're not just heading in circles. And I am so glad to know that behind all that is going on, things I can understand and most things that I cannot, to know that God is sovereign, to know that God is still on his throne, that God knows what's going on, God has a plan, and no matter how dark the hour may seem, God is still in control. And to know that God neither slumbers nor sleeps, and that he is the God that has been the God since the beginning. He is the Alpha. It's where it all begins. And friends, I declare to you that when this dust settles and history is put aside, and the Bible says, and time shall be no more, in that moment, I declare to you, God will be the Omega. He will still be, for he has been, he always will be. He changes not. History comes, history goes. Moments come, moments go, but God is still on his throne. Galatians 4 and verse 4. But when the set time, the perfect moment, whatever translation you're reading from, but when the set time, the perfect moment had fully come, God sent his son. You know, for some, it's though they're looking at this like God was kind of watching history. And he was watching this timeline of history, all these moments, everything that we've had on the screen, and thousands and thousands and thousands of more. As though in their mind, God was kind of watching and kind of like a line's passing by, and he says, okay, that looks like a perfect moment, and I'll put my son right there. That is not what Paul is saying. That is not what Scripture is declaring. That is not the whole counsel of God. What Paul is saying, when God said, let there be, and the world came into existence, from that moment on, he was orchestrating all of history and preparing for that moment, perfect moment, when his son would come from heaven above on a mission to seek and to save the lost. Active, not passive. And you know what that tells me? That God, just as he is active in this timeline of world history, God is active in your life and my life in the same way. I can say, and you can say, in the beginning, it was God. God formed us. God shaped us like he made the heavens and the earth. God wanted relationship with us, just like with Adam and Eve. Friends, the whole story is all there, and it's God weaving in your life and in my life. And in times when you would say, God, how can this be from you? God, this world or my life, my situation, my marriage, my job, my health, it all seems like it's out of control, God. Much like the church must have thought when persecution came against them in Jerusalem and they scattered around the world. Friends, we need to understand, even in those hard and difficult times and moments of life, God was still on the scene and God had a plan. God will take all of your pain and one day he'll explain it to you, but you may never know on this side of eternity, why you had to walk the road you walked, and why your history looks like the history of your life as it is. But God had a time, a moment, a perfect moment for you. And you were born, brought into this world. God's been watching over you. He's been working in your life and through your life. And he loves you and been drawing you unto himself. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. You know, that once again speaks about a specific moment, an exact thing, at an exacting moment in time, where you open your heart and you say, Jesus, I've known about you for a long time, but this is the moment that I act, because I realize life is not a cycle. It is linear, and you're speaking to my heart right now, and I want to listen to the voice of heaven. Now, next week, we're going to take this timeline, and we're going to crunch it all down. What was happening at the moment when Jesus came into this world? What was happening in the surrounding nations? What was happening in religion? All of these things you'll find fascinating, and you'll find that God orchestrated the perfect moment for the coming of his Son. And we'll talk about that perfect time moment next Sunday morning.